Delighted to welcome into the studio, joining us on the bigger picture this evening, Gerald Lawless, the Executive Chairman of Jumeirah, the Dubai-based hotel group. Gerald, many, many thanks indeed for joining us.
Thank you, Richard. Nice to be here.
We've got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. We're going to begin, though, with a busy year ahead for Jumeirah. Of course, your portfolio, as we know, includes hotels like the Jumeirah Beach Hotel, the Burj Al Arab, and many, many others. And six new properties that you're going to be taking control of later on this year. Tell us more.
Yes, Richard. Well, we've already started with the first one, which is known as the Jumeirah Zabil Sarai on the Palm. Which is going through what we call our soft opening period at the moment, starting from the 4th of January this year, where we already opened our doors. And yes, we believe that during the course of 2011, we should end up with having opened a minimum of six hotels and perhaps even as many as eight or nine. But we're looking pretty sure now, having done Zabil, that we will also open in Shanghai. We'll open in Abu Dhabi. Frankfurt should come in about September, and then we actually have two hotels in the Maldives, one larger than the other, one about down near the equator, actually, in one of the lower part of the archipelago, known as Divan Fushi, and that will open probably before Easter. We're just waiting for the final date at the moment. Plus, its sister hotel will then open by September, which will be closer to Male, the main island, just about 15 minutes offshore of that. In addition to that, we think that there's also a good possibility that we will open in Kuwait, in Baku, and we may have another little announcement about another hotel in Dubai very soon.
I did hear a little rumour about that, but I shall not press you on it. It's all well and good, and it sounds great opening six, maybe eight, nine hotels this year, but you know better than most that it has been a tough time for the hotel industry. Why is now the time to be back in expansion mode, particularly here in Dubai? You've got the Jumeirah Zabil Sarai, okay, open already, talk of another hotel possibly here in Dubai. But we all know the numbers, don't we? We know that average room rates have fallen by, I don't know, 30, 40, 50%, maybe more in Dubai over the past couple of years. We know that there are 50,000 hotel rooms. Perhaps that's too many. You know the statistics better than me. So why open more hotels here?
Yeah, I think there are just as many reasons to be confident. I think one of the things that I've seen, which has given me really a lot of belief that we've been through the worst, and I think that you know, we peaked about the end of 2008, and 2009 was a difficult year. But actually, 2010 began to stabilize. And if you look at what's happened in the airport arrivals over the course of 2010, with double-digit growth in every month of the whole year. And at the same time, our actual total tourism numbers, and we're looking forward to the final figures coming out from the Department of Tourism and Commerce Marketing, will show a growth in 2010. So yes, Dubai is definitely recovering. And I think that, you know, any destination, any tourism destination will always sink or swim according to the amount of airlift. And we are really fortunate to have an airline such as Emirates Airlines doing what they're doing for Dubai travel and tourism to continue their growth and to be bringing so many passengers into Dubai. And I think that it's up to us to work very closely with the airlines, and indeed we do, as does most of the industry, to ensure that we try to entice as many passengers as possible out of the airport and into our hotels. But we've seen very modest growth in 2010, but certainly a total stabilisation of the situation.
You've got to persuade people to get off their flight, first of all, their Emirates flight, and come to Dubai. And then you've got to convince them to come to one of your hotels rather than one of the many, many other hotels. And how do you do that as a hotelier? Because, again, the competition, it's not just volume of hotel rooms in Dubai. Some of them are run-of-the-mill hotels. But there are a lot of very, very, very good hotels here in Dubai. How do you stay ahead of the pack?
Well, I guess it's a bit like in the old days where the top-end jeweler shops or the Savile Row in London, for example, where the top-end tailor shops always came together in the same place. And Dubai has a great reputation for quality hotels and quality service. and I think I may say so, I think that with His Highness Sheikh Mohammed having decided to develop the Jumeirah Beach Hotel, and more specifically the Burj Al Arab, at a time when most people thought that, well, there wouldn't be a market for such high-end properties, I think that he has, and we have since, shown the way as far as luxury hotel keeping is concerned. And we have worked very hard over the years to establish Jumeirah as a luxury hotel brand, not only within Dubai, but on the international scene. And this has paid huge dividends for us. In fact, going back to your earlier point about average room rate, it's been very interesting to note that, as I say, 2008 would have been the peak of the average room rates and the occupancy and the that we have experienced in recent times. But the average room rates that we achieved in 2008, especially in the peak periods where we were looking at upwards of 3,500, even sometimes 3,800 dirhams, I really didn't believe that we'd see it again for a long, long time. But over the course of the last 8 to 10 weeks, we have started actually coming back, not for such sustained periods, but actually of touching on these average room rates again, and in certain nights exceeding them in places like Medina Jumeirah.
On the other and side, this is for a room, not a suite, or not the Burj Al Arab.
Well, it would be the average. So there was some of the rooms would be at around that price. Some would be brought up because the average of you let some of your top-end suites at much higher rates, which of course affects the overall average as well. But we certainly seen a great deal more depth in the kind of reservations we're now receiving, with a lot more interest in long-term bookings, reservations coming earlier, which is obviously a good indication. And definitely even the airlines will confirm it. People have started travelling again. And I'm a firm believer in Dubai as a quality destination. But now it's also a quality destination with a high level of competition amongst the five-star hotels, whereby there's very, very good value to be had for visitors coming to Dubai, and they certainly are coming.
Let's talk about international expansion. I know China is particularly hot on your radar. You've talked about the Maldives as well. When you look at your international expansion plan, I mean, in theory, you could go anywhere. You've got hotels in London and New York. You've had them for a while now, but most of the noise I hear when it comes to Jumeirah seems to be east rather than west. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I think it is. And I think that we've seen such huge opportunity, particularly, as you rightly say, within China. And China is a great market for us. It must be borne in mind that most of the hotels that we are operating now outside Dubai do not actually belong to Jumeirah. We're doing it as most of our competitors do, such as Four Seasons or Mandarin Oriental, where they do it on a management contract, a management agreement basis, where we brand the hotel and we are responsible for the total running and operation of it. We see China working from both ways, certainly from the point of view of producing a lot of opportunities for us for new hotels within China, and indeed for the possibility of outbound business from China.
How do you convince a hotel owner in China that Jumeirah is the company for them? Because they've got companies pitching for these, and presumably they've got a list of meetings, and the guy from Starwood will be coming in at 9, and the guy from Intercom will be coming in at 11, and then there's you guys from Jumeirah with a portfolio of, what, a couple of dozen hotels based in Dubai.
Not even.
We all know Jumeirah. We've all got our serious cards, but that's in Dubai. What about in Guangzhou? How do you convince them that you've got the reach and the scope and the booking network to fill their hotels?
Yeah, absolutely, and it is the case very often. And what we've been doing over the last several years is attending a number of investment conferences which take place around the world. They're hotel investment conferences. In the United States, you normally have New York and San Diego. But importantly, we also have Berlin, the Arabian Hotel Investment Conference in Dubai, which happens at the end of April every year, and in China, HIPAC, which happens in Hong Kong in October of every year. And we've been attending these on a very regular basis throughout the years, where we've been participating on panels, participating in plenary sessions at these conferences, and also ensuring that we set up a lot of visits beforehand. We've been going out there, actually setting up our regional offices with our regional vice presidents for development as well as for operations. But most importantly, we get there, we get to meet the people who are potentially investing in hotels, and they ask the question you asked, well, you know, who is Jumeirah? What is Jumeirah? You're a relatively small company versus the competition. And what we always do is say, well, the best way to really understand Jumeirah is please come to Dubai, see what we are in Dubai. And without fail, we've done this now dozens of times. We have never failed to convince an owner that we really can deliver. Because I think it should be borne in mind also that the hotels that we have in Dubai, though they are luxury hotels, are quite large operations. And because of that, and because we cluster a lot of our operations, we have a very sophisticated setup in terms of sales and marketing, human resources, our call center for international reservations, our websites. And it's great to be able to show potential owners exactly what we can do within Jumeirah. And they usually leave very convinced. And that's one of the reasons we've now actually signed 43 management agreements globally.
We're talking with Gerald Lawless. He is the executive chairman of Jumeirah Group. More from him in a few minutes' time.